Issues past and present surrounding the mental health and human rights of prisoners are at stake in The Examination, which is the latest play from Broken Talkers, the Dublin-based theatre company of Gary Keegan and Phelim Cannon. And the play opens as part of the Dublin Fringe Festival this Friday. It features two performers, Gary Keegan himself, who's also the co-writer and co-director, and Willie White, stand-up comedian and a former prisoner. Gary and Professor Catherine Cox are here in studio with me this evening to tell us more about Broken Talkers and this play, The Examination. The characters, first of all, Gary, if you and Willie, to what extent is it you, Gary, and you, Willie, that are on stage? Are the kind of characters on top of that?
I think to a large extent, we started developing the piece with the idea that it would be Willie and myself, as the basis of the piece. And on top of that, then, I suppose we bring certain other kind of attitudes into play. So, for example, Willie is responsible for, within the piece, he's responsible for communicating a great deal of testimony that Phelim and I collected through interviews with prisoners in Mountjoy. And he is, I suppose, the custodian of those testimonies. So he communicates those to the audience, whereas I am, I suppose, communicating, more sinister, more uglier kind of notions around the nature of criminality.
And do you think that in some ways, because Willie had been through an experience in prison, that it was his voice that should give testament to some of the experiences?
Absolutely, because at a certain point during the piece, it becomes clear that he was one of those prisoners as well. He spent 7 years inside prison, and his story then, I suppose, kind of bleeds into the piece, his own personal experience of being incarcerated, suffering, and coming through addiction and mental illness as well. So his story, I suppose, is kind of bleeds into the sort of more documentary verbatim side of things, and my own experience of being a victim of crime, I suppose, explains at some certain point why I have such a, I suppose, fascistic kind of attitudes towards criminals.
Yeah, well, I'll come back to that,
sure,
to your own experience, but I want to bring Catherine in. You're an associate professor, Catherine, in the School of History, and you're the director of the UCD Centre for the History of Medicine in Ireland. Now, the way Gary has described, I suppose, the fact that Willie is giving voice to a certain amount of experiences of those who have spent time in prison, in some ways, you're handing this over to, because you commissioned the play, you're handing this over to a theatre company is one of those acts of giving voice to perhaps what things you have read, what might seem like arid research. Was that part of the thinking in getting this put on stage?
As a historian, I'll never say it's arid research, but I have to say that. That was exactly part of our thinking. I've been researching before I met Gary. I was researching the issue of mental health in prisons in the 19th and 20th century, coming across individual case stories, struck by the extent to which this is an issue that was so dominant in the 19th century, was, remarked upon by people like Oscar Wilde and Dickens. And yet, I was also listening to the radio and hearing those same stories being talked about.
I suppose the theory, and I think it isn't it a theory, or certainly this idea of the born criminal, it's quite a... Yep. Quite important to the whole idea here.
It's important to the whole. I mean, this was a theory that emerged in the late 19th century, basically... Following several decades of prison reform, there was a realisation that there were still people in prison and that the rehabilitation hadn't happened. And certain theories started emerging, particularly around in the continent. And Cesare Lambrusco? came up with this particular theory of the born criminal, the idea of biological determinism, that people are essentially innately criminal, and there's no reformation, there's no point in rehabilitation.
So thinking about rehabilitation in prison
exactly.
is a waste of time in
it's
his mind.
Exactly, that's exactly it. And in that period then, the late 19th century, prison disciplines became more punitive, and therefore responses to individuals became more and more about discipline and control. And there are some of the issues that we try to tease out. How do doctors respond in situations where you have somebody who's maybe, difficult within the prison environment? It impacts negatively on staff, but also the individual is actually ill and suffering from psychiatric illness. So that aligning, I guess, of criminality with illness.
Yeah, and is that something that the elision of criminality and illness, is that what you were hearing in contemporary interviews or conversations on radio that you're saying, this is something that was... you know, thought in the 19th century, and people, we thought we'd got past it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We sort of, the echoes were constantly there, and that's why we approached Gary of Phelan, because we thought, well, you know, putting those two things together in one piece would be really, really very powerful and make people think about why this has happened, why a process that was sort of known about in literature, in, you know, medical literature and general publications in the 19th century still seems to be with us today. And maybe putting those two things together in the powerful way Broken Talkers do in this piece, and bringing in contemporary experience would, you know, prompt debate and discussion.
And it's perfect material, really, for Broken Talkers, Gary, because it is the style of theatre that you and Phelan have been involved in making for a long time, taking difficult documentary evidence and putting a kind of flesh on it that humanises it in a way that an audience can then digest. But let's come to that thing you mentioned just before I spoke with Catherine, your own experience of being a victim of crime.
Sure, I guess the thing that we found when we were in the room with Willie and we were kind of going through all of this material and his experience and his points of view around prison reform, which honestly and genuinely I would agree with, but I also had this experience in the back of my mind of being attacked in London in 2003, where I was attacked completely randomly but quite savagely beaten and kind of left there kind of bleeding, like, you know, left for dead, like a very serious head injury, and at the back of my mind, having had that experience of going in and out of Mountjoy, meeting with these prisoners who had in many cases committed violent crime, I was reminded, I suppose, of my own experience. And we somehow decided that we would kind of exploit my own experience in a way to make me that character who wanted retribution and vengeance.
But is there a sense in which, you know, and possibly understandably, you know, your liberal sensibilities were scratched and were tested when suddenly you were on the receiving end of a difficult and a harmful attack?
Yeah, and there is a lot of anger still there. When I look in the mirror, like, every morning, I can see the scar on my head from that attack, and my children have asked me about it, what happened to your head, and I have to tell them that story. So there is the victim's side of the story that I suppose can't be kind of whitewashed over or overlooked. But at the same time, I suppose what the piece is really trying to communicate is that the punishment is the incarceration, and that on top of that, we don't have to have this sort of punitive kind of treatment of prisoners.
But I guess, Catherine, you know, possibly understandable in the case of Gary, and he describes his what happened to him, why he might have that, you know, why that might awake difficult attitudes in terms of people who have committed crime. But what about people who are not victims of crime? Where does the research look at where their attitudes, maybe where attitudes come that are still pretty, let's punish these people, let's lock them up?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, the Gary is obviously coming from a particular space on that, but I mean, it is commonplace, the notion. I think it's often as well people maybe haven't thought about these issues. I mean, what has really struck us in the feedback we've received from people who have seen this, maybe people who have never thought about prisons, they very much said, well, I didn't really think about how you access psychiatric healthcare if you're a prisoner. Haven't really thought about those type of issues. So that's what we're trying to do, you know, prompt people to think on those issues that they maybe not have gone there before.
And just if we can give a very concrete example of that, you know, accessing psychiatric treatment and things like that is one thing. Accessing simple toilet issues is another. And you examine and you describe that. Slopping out is, it's something that has disappeared, I think, but there are still elements of you can't use the toilet privately if you're in prison.
Yeah, there are statistics that we communicate within the play that kind of talk about how, you know, in Mountjoy the cells were only fitted with toilets relatively recently, and Willie goes into great detail describing the smell and describing his daily journey down to the slopping out area to kind of empty out his, you know, his toilet pot with all the other guys, and having to brush his teeth in the same space, and people coming down late to empty out their pots while he's brushing his teeth. So that kind of visceral environment is evoked very strongly within the piece as well. Yeah, and it's a basic human rights issue, I suppose, the idea of being able to use a toilet. I don't think if you asked the most kind of staunch person, you know, should prisoners have access to a private toilet? Of course, I would say I would like to think most of them would say, of course.
Yeah, but they might know the reality of the situation, which is that what this play is about is putting flesh on that research. That's it. Catherine Cox and Gary Keegan there speaking to me about the examination from Broken Talkers. It's at the Project Arts Centre from the 7th through until the 14th of September, with the exception of Friday the 13th, when there is no performance on. Not lucky, is that what it is? You worry about the unlucky for Friday the 13th. Full details on fringefest.com.